In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel, which is one that is particular for when we celebrate the Holy Fathers, we do this several times a year, is one that reflects really the basics of what all of us should be doing. Because the Lord speaks about the city on the hill. He speaks about not hiding the lamp under the bushel. In other words, what he is speaking about is letting the radiance that he gives each and every one of us, if we are leading the life that we're supposed to be leading, letting that radiance shine in front of the whole world. And you know, often we go through, I think, our Christian lives, and we don't pay enough attention to that. I know particularly during the years when I was working out in the world, and the temptation, even though I might have just had a wonderful weekend of services or something like that, I go back into the office, and immediately it's like you're getting sucked into this vortex of craziness by all the gossip and the news of the day and all this kind of stuff. And then people may start talking in a certain way and saying certain things that, you know, you really should not be participating in, but you start doing it yourself. All of a sudden, it's like you just discard everything that you had learned that previous Sunday, and now you're right back in with the rabble. You know better than anyone else. You're talking like they are. You're making nasty jokes. You're gossiping. You're judging people. You're all just really back into it. And so we forget that the light that is supposed to be the faith that we have is supposed to be shining everywhere. Not just in church, okay? Everybody here knows that you're pious, right? I mean, we all look around and we say, oh, look, everyone's in church. That's wonderful. And we're doing so well. We're all here to worship God. And that's great. But what if then we took a series of video cameras and we followed everybody the next week? And then we recorded, unbeknownst to them, all the things that they were doing and saying. And then we joined back here Sunday, perhaps for a coffee hour class. And we show all of those videos that were taken of all of us during that week. Wouldn't that be a great class? I mean, you know, you're all just dying to see that, I know, until you pop up on the screen. But the fact is that God is there with the video camera. Okay, he's watching all of us. He knows what each of us is doing. He knows how we are acting and reacting to the things that we find out there during the week, in the world, all those other times that we're not here in church. And he's not always going to be happy with what he sees, is he? And honestly, none of us should be happy with it either, because we're called to something greater. We're called to something higher than that. And sometimes it's really hard, because when you're out there and you're in your office or wherever it happens to be, or even with just friends somewhere, it's easy to get pulled down that road. There you go again, you know, before you're even thinking about it. But if we cultivate our spiritual lives, if we try and make that light brighter and brighter, then we won't be as tempted when we encounter these things. The light of Christ will shine through us, and other people will notice it too. And they may not like it always either. Not at all. But at least they'll be disturbed by it. At least they'll think about it. At least they'll know that something's going on, and it will perplex them. And perhaps ultimately it might bring them around to a different way of thinking about things. Like Seraphim of Sarov said, acquire the spirit of peace and thousands around you will be saved. And if thousands around you are not being saved, then it's because you have not acquired that spirit of peace. Well, we have two examples today, which is very fortunate, of the light not being hid under a bushel, and of a glowing city being set up on top of a hill. And the first, of course, is the fathers that we celebrate today. Now, this is kind of a confusing one because depending on what calendar you're looking at, depending on what church you happen to be in, there seems to be a little bit of confusion as to what fathers are being celebrated. Some say the fathers of all seven councils are celebrated today. Some say it's the first six. Some say the fourth and the sixth councils, because those are the ones that dealt really with Monophysitism and Monothelitism, which is its daughter. In our particular church, we celebrate the fourth council. That's who we're commenting on today. That's who we're singing about today, even though a lot of the hymns refer to the earlier councils as well. So that's just one of the things that has developed this way in the church. But the point is that these 630 fathers of the church that were called together to fight really a destructive and horrible heresy were illumined by the Holy Spirit and came together and manifested the Spirit's teaching to all of us. And what were the problems, really? Well, the Third Ecumenical Council had condemned, through the great Saint Cyril of Alexandria, the heresy of Nestorius. And Nestorius was a brilliant man. He was a patriarch, but he was also quite confused, unfortunately. And so what he decided to do, basically, was to take the one person of Jesus Christ and split him into two different persons. So Christ had a divine person and a human person, so that whatever happened in the human person never touched the divine. So that what that meant is that the Lord, in being born from the Virgin Mary, never took anything from her. And if he didn't take anything from her, he didn't take anything from us as well. And so he was completely someone who was not touched by humanity. And Cyril was very vociferous in pointing this out, and Nestorius was condemned. Well, in the fourth council that took place in Chalcedon in 451, there was yet something else that was going on with a heretic named Eutyches. And Eutyches was confused because he was assigning only one nature to the person of Christ. Now, when he did that, it meant that that nature wasn't drawing anything from the divine or drawing anything from the human. It was coming from some other source completely. And the fathers again said, no, that's ridiculous. Following again Saint Cyril, we confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is one person, divine and human. He has two separate natures, the divine and the human. They are not confused. They are not divided, but they are all in the one person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, although it may sound like a, you know, theological, you know, little strange theological conundrums that we like to get into every once in a while, this was vital in the life of the church. Because though the church had always known who Christ was, when it came under assault, they had to say, no, this is who Jesus Christ is, perfect God and perfect man. He is of one essence with his Father by way of divinity. He is of one essence with us by way of his humanity. And that's the only way that it could be for him to communicate the divinity of God to the humanity of us. And this wasn't just all these fathers sitting down and scribbling these things out and say, well, let's decide this or that or the other. No, there were terrible arguments about this. There were councils that had come before that had said the wrong things, and these councils had to be completely cut off as robber councils. This was something that was very important to all of us, but these 630 that came together would not have been able, simply, automatically, by coming together as a council of the church, to proclaim these things if they themselves had not been manifesting that light within them, if they had not been living the Christian lives. This is why we celebrate them together, all 630 of them. We are also fortunate because it happens to fall on this day, to have another wonderful saint, Marina of Antioch in Pisidia. Marina was a young girl who had a father who was actually a pagan priest. And she came to understand the things of the Lord at the age of 12. She gave up her life for him at the age of 15. So again, when we talk about, gee, our kids just can't understand anything about the faith, well, Marina did. And she demonstrated to everyone through all these terrible things that she went through, including being persecuted by her own father who sought her death. And many of us today think, what? Say what? What kind of father would ever think about killing their child? Well, have you ever heard of honor killings that have happened in the Middle East? These things do happen when the mindset of a person gets so skewed, so off-balanced, that they lose their humanity in respect to a son or a daughter. Marina was told that she had to marry. She didn't want to marry because even though she was 12 years old, she knew deep in her heart those things that she had learned, she took them within herself and let that seed just blossom and grow. And it was a wonderful thing. She encountered the devil himself in her spiritual struggles, who appeared as a serpent to her. And she took really an axe in her right hand and grabbed him by the head and smacked him over the head. And we might think, gee, that sounds kind of mythological too, doesn't it? But if you read some of the lives of the Desert Fathers, you will find that when they are in their spiritual struggles all alone and making great progress, these things happen. Satan did appear to her, and she did repulse him in several different ways over time. And this was after having undergone all sorts of tortures because she would not grant her father the wish of marrying this other high-ranking official. And he had turned against her. Finally, the official beheaded her, and she gave up her soul to Christ. Her relics now reside in a church in Athens. But she is long remembered now as one of the earliest of the martyrs, of the earliest of the saints. We'll actually have another one, very similar in nature, next Sunday when we celebrate St. Christina of Tyre. Very early, and you read so much about these early saints and the things that they went through and the incredible, incredible hatred that the pagans of the time had for the Christians, so that they would do hardly anything, and yet they would get assaulted by them because they realized that there was something greater than paganism that had come along. And that it was usurping the power that they had, and they fought against it greatly. They're still fighting against it greatly today. Not perhaps as violently as then, but they're certainly able to do that in other ways, and it's something that we need to look to people like St. Marina for in order to be able to combat it. What did she do? The same thing that the fathers of the Fourth Council did. She let that seed that Christ had planted in her grow and blossom. She paid attention to her faith. She practiced her faith. She loved our Lord Jesus Christ. And she wasn't going to let anything get in the way of any of that. Well, that's the Christian calling, isn't it? That's the way it's supposed to be for all of us. The same way. You may never undergo martyrdom for the Lord. You could possibly undergo smaller martyrdoms for the Lord when you're put in a difficult situation at your work or with your friends or with your family. And your response then should be the same as if someone was bringing the axe down on you. It would say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, my God. I confess Him as being perfectly divine and human and as the second hypostasis or person of the Holy Trinity. and He is the only sure way to God. That is our confession. And that is what we should offer to everywhere, any place, at all times. That's what He's calling us to. And so we must be prepared for this. Because if you can't combat the little things that come against you in daily life, you will never be able to combat something as serious as physical martyrdom. So we need to stay awake, my brothers and sisters. We need to understand how great the calling is. You are chosen by God for this. Absolutely chosen by Him for this. But in return, He expects much of all of you. Let us always remember that and ask incessantly for the prayers of the fathers of all seven councils and for the prayers of all the saints, and especially those like Marina of Antioch, who even at a young age shows us the way that we should go. Amen.